Amen. Thank you, worship team. Is that better? You can hear me now? Sorry about that. You guys really did make me nervous. Switched it off instead of switching it on. We've been in an Easter series over the last few weeks, and we've talked about Jesus, his promises, and then last week we talked about Jesus' prayer, and this morning we're going to talk about his power, his resurrection power. And as I've been studying over the last several months, I was reading a passage in John 14, and you know, it was the night before Jesus was crucified. He made this very strange statement that nobody, I don't think anybody who heard it understood it. He said this in John 14, 19. He said, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Because I am alive," he says, you're also going to come alive. And you know, you begin to think, what in the world did he mean by that? I can just imagine his disciples thinking, you know, we're already alive. We're already alive. What does this mean when he says, you're about to come alive? Well, let me just tell you, Easter is all about coming alive. And that reminds me of my favorite Easter story. And if you've heard it before, it doesn't matter because it's my favorite Easter story, right? There was these neighbors that lived next to each other. And the one family had a little boy named Billy. He had a little pet rabbit, a little white fluffy rabbit they kept in a pen outside on the porch and in the backyard there. And so one day, the neighbor next to him was there looking out his back window. And he looks out and he sees his dog. And his dog has Billy's little Fluffy in his mouth. And he's just shaking and it's all muddy and all messed up. He's going, oh my goodness, my dog. You know, and he runs out to try to save the rabbit. And he's pulling it from the dog. He gets in his hand and it's dead. I mean, it is dead, rabbit dead. And he goes, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You know, and so he goes into the house trying to think what he's going to do. He says, here's what I'll do. You know, I'll wash him off, and then I'll, you know, kind of put him back in the pen and kind of puff him up there in the pen. And they'll just think maybe he died of natural causes. And so he starts washing him off. He gets the joy, right? He's cleaning him all off. He gets his blow dryer, starts blowing little Fluffy off. He gets him all puffed up, right? He sneaks back over to the other house, and he sneaks onto their porch, puts it in the pen, very nice, puffs it, and he says, oh, yeah. And he sneaks back across and just waits to see what's going to happen. Later that afternoon, all of a sudden, he hears the mom over there screaming, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. Oh, my goodness. He runs across. What's the matter? What's the matter? And she said, well, Billy's little rabbit, Fluffy, died. He died 3 days ago, and we buried him in the backyard, and he's alive. He's risen. It's best I got today, brother. Easter is about coming alive, and Jesus Christ proved he was who he said he was. You know, he said, I am God. I'm the Son of God. I'm going to let them crucify me on the cross. I'm going to be buried in the ground for 3 days. Then I'm going to come back to life to prove that I'm who I say I am. And he did. He did. And listen, there's so much evidence to prove that. I would just recommend to you Lee Strobel's book, In Case of Easter. I mean, he spent 2 years of his life trying to disprove the resurrection. And all he did was prove it to himself, and he became a believer and a follower of Christ. Lee has four E's that you know, kind of is his proof, what he discovered for the resurrection. Let me just run down real quickly for him. The first one was execution. That Jesus actually did die, right? He died, and you know, that exists. That fact exists. And there's history, you know, so much historical evidence to that in the Bible and outside of the Bible. I mean, Jesus lived, and he died. The second E is early. The reports of Jesus being raised from the dead were not some fantasy concoction, you know, that happened years after his death. The story of the resurrection was circulating weeks after his death on the cross. And then my favorite E is empty. The tomb was empty, and there was no arguing that fact. I mean, even the enemies, his enemies believed that and admitted to that. Even the soldiers testified to that. The tomb was empty. Jesus was gone. And then the greatest evidence was the last E, eyewitnesses. You know, the number of eyewitnesses that testified to Jesus being raised is really staggering. In the court of law, you only need one or two credible witnesses to prove your fact. And here we have over 500 eyewitnesses to the resurrected Christ to prove the fact that Jesus lives, proving that he is who he said he is, that he is God in flesh. You see, the Christian faith is not built upon speculation, but fact. And you can be certain that Jesus lives and he came to take away the sins of the world, including yours. And I think almost every one of us, we know that part of the Easter story, right? We know that part of the Easter story. But what most people don't know, I think, is the second part of the story. And that involves you and that involves me. 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says this, he included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life. A resurrection life. A far better life than people ever lived on their own. You know, one thing I love about being a pastor is when I get to see people's lives changed by the power of God. When dead things come alive and are resurrected. Especially those that seem to have no chance of comeback. You know, when marriages are so messed up, or just doesn't seem like there's a way for them to come back, or maybe you're walking down this pathway of immorality and you think there's no hope, but then there's this huge comeback fueled by the power and the presence of God. I just love that. It's the same reason I love sports. I mean, I love the comeback, the last second shot, the walk-off home run, the winning touchdown drive. They have this saying in sports, it goes like this, it ain't over till it's over, right? It ain't over till the lady sings. Cut that out. And what they're trying to say is, don't give up on them. How many of you gave up on Gonzaga last night? Don't give up on them. It ain't over till it's over, right? It ain't over till it's over. But there is a time when it's over, right? I mean, when the clock hits triple zeros, it's over. And the ultimate it's over has to be death. When you take that last breath. Many of you have experienced that with your loved ones and your friends. Those that have taken that last breath. And I hear so many of you say, wow, I just wanted one more conversation. One more hug. One more piece of advice. One more, you know, just one more little bit of wisdom from them. Death is that ultimate, it's over. There's a finality to it all. I didn't bring you here this morning, or you didn't come here this morning to get all sad. I mean, this is a day of celebration, right? And I love to hear your laughter. So let me tell you a Boudreaux story. Can I do that? Boudreaux was my buddy down from, he lived in South Louisiana. He was a Cajun. Boudreaux had buddies, Thibodeau and Guidry. They were his buddies. And one day they had a friend pass away. And so Boudreaux didn't like death. And so he got his buddies, Thibodeau and Guidry, to go with him to the funeral. And they were there in the funeral. And, you know, at the end of the funeral, everybody was walking down to give their last respects. And Boudreaux said, I'm not going by myself. I don't like, you know, and said, you got to go with. So they all went down together. Boudreaux, Thibodeau, and Guidry went down it again. They're standing in front of the casket, right? And Boudreaux asked Thibodeau, what do you want people to say about you when you're laying there like that? And then Thibodeau just kind of thought for a minute. He said, oh, man, I want them to talk about how I'm a great family man. You know, how I love my wife and my children. That's what I want them to talk about. He said, well, Guidry, how about you? What do you want them to talk about when you're laying there in that space? And Guidry looked and thought a little bit. He said, well, I want them to talk about how generous I was, how much I helped the community and the people around me. That's what I want them to talk about. And Thibodeau and Guidry looked at Boudreaux, what do you want them to talk about when you're laying there in that casket? What do you want them to talk about? And Boudreaux just kind of stood there for a minute and he thought, looked down at that casket and looked back up at him, looked down at that casket. He said, well, this is what I want them to be saying about me. He's moving! He's moving! Oh my goodness, he's moving! I'm with Boudreaux. Right? Listen. What's cool about Easter? What's cool about my Jesus is he's conquered the ultimate death. And that's what we celebrate on Easter. This is the greatest day in history, right? The greatest day in all of history when Jesus rose from the grave and conquered the ultimate. It's over. In Revelation 1:18, he says, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. He says, I am alive forevermore. And then he says, amen. And it's almost like Jesus, after he said that, you know, I was dead and behold, I'm alive forevermore. He just thought that was so awesome that he just amened himself, right? I'm just going to amen. Amen. That's awesome. And I begin to think about that. You know, sometimes up here, every once in a while, I say something that's really good. Right? And you just look back at me like that, you know? And so here's what I've decided to do. If Jesus can say amen to himself, I decided whenever I say something good, I'm just going to amen myself. I'm going to say, amen, honey. Keep preaching, brother. Keep preaching. That was good. Thank you. Thank you for that. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Here's the deal. We know that this day is all about that, right? That we come and celebrate that event that took place thousands of years ago. But Easter is more than that. Easter is so much more. It's about realizing that the same power that raised Christ from the dead can happen in you. It can happen in me. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. If you're a follower of Christ, He lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies, to your dead stuff, by the same Spirit living within you. The same power, the same energy that it took to get Jesus out of the grave can happen in you. And I really believe He's not just talking about physical death here. I believe that He wants to take every death experience in your life and resurrect it. And resurrect it. You know, all of us, as I've said, we've experienced deaths, right? We've gone to funerals and to celebration services. And sometimes when I'm doing a celebration service, you know, most of the time the person that's passed away really wants me to share the good news, wants me to share the, you know, how you come to know God as your Lord and Savior so that everybody will make that decision and we can be together on the other side, place called heaven. And so sometimes I'll be sharing that good news and I know it's a sad time. I know there's grief going on, but sometimes I look out into the people's faces and I begin to think, you know, that sometimes the dead person is more alive than the people in the service. I think a lot of us are experiencing types of death. And I asked you last week, is there anything in your life that has died or is in the process of dying? Emotional death, marital death, or, you know, financial death, where you're saying, man, it's just over. Death going on the inside. And it makes sense that we struggle with that because the job description of Satan is to kill, steal, and destroy, right? So he's trying not just to kill you physically, but he's trying to create death inside of you. John 10:10 says, the thief Satan comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I come that you may have life and have it to the full. Chances are most of us, if not all of us, are experiencing some type of death in some area of our lives. And so maybe you're saying, well, money, how do you know something is dying? Let me give you three symptoms that maybe something is dying in you. The first one is exhaustion. People feel exhausted. They're worn out. They, they say, you know, honey, I'm tired all the time. I can't keep up this pace. I'm overloaded. When I come home in the evening, I just crash. I'm worn out. I'm out of energy. I'm exhausted. I'm tired beyond rest. You ever been there? You there now? You know, an exhaustion always leads to the second thing, I believe, is, and that's emptiness. Emptiness, where you say, you know, I don't think I got another thing in me. I couldn't sign up for another thing. I couldn't take on another assignment or project or commitment. I'm stretched to the limit. I'm just empty on the inside. Something is missing. There's a void. In those quiet moments, we begin to think, if this life is so good, how come I'm still unsatisfied? Why don't I feel more meaning in my life? And by the way, what is the meaning of all this? Getting more and having more and accomplishing more. What's the meaning behind it? If it's so good, why don't I feel more satisfied? There's this emptiness inside of me. And that leads to what I call enslavement, where people feel trapped, right? Trapped by your debt, or, you know, and you say, you know, I don't know if I'm going to ever be able to get out of this. I just feel trapped. I feel trapped in maybe in a relationship. Feel trapped in my marriage. I can't get on with it, but I can't get out of it. I feel trapped by the expectations of other people around me. I feel trapped by my guilt. I feel trapped by fear, by my bitterness because of somebody that has hurt me. Money, I'm even a slave to my schedule. Just enslaved to anxiety and discouragement. You know, sometimes we go through circumstances in our life that we think, I just can't get out of this one, or I just can't get over this or through this. And we say it's over. Do you feel like any of these? Emptiness, exhaustion, feeling trapped. Listen, God wants me to say to you today, it's not over. It's not over. It's not over. Look back at Revelation 1:18. He says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And then he says this, I have the keys of Hades and of death. God holds the key to your death experience. And he is the only one that can bring life back into you. You can't do it in your own strength. Only he holds the key to this resurrection power in your life. Listen, it's not over. And the reason that God brought you here this morning is so that you can learn about the resurrected life, this resurrection power that's available to us. There is something more, Jesus says, and you're about to come alive in every area of your life, in all of your relationships. So what is this resurrected life that Jesus Christ offers us? Let me give you three things that resurrection power brings into your life. The first is it brings power, right? It brings power. The resurrected life is full of energy. The same power, the same energy, as I said before, that it took to get Jesus out of the grave can happen in you and can happen in me. That he wants to confront every death situation in you. He wants to take every death experience in your life and resurrect it. Do you ever get tired of just thinking about all the stuff you have to do? Have you noticed that when you're low on energy, and that little problems become big problems? Have you noticed that when you don't have a whole lot of patience because your energy level is low, that the littlest things, the tiny things just tick you off. You know why that is? Because you're trying to run and do life on your own energy. Your battery is about to go out. Listen, you were never meant to live in your own power. It's no wonder we're tired all the time. God meant for us to be plugged into His power, not going through life just living on your own energy. God wants to give you a life full of energy. And with Christ in your life, you have energy that you didn't have in your own power. And here's what I love about our God. He gives it to us on a day-by-day basis. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by," and I love this, "not a day goes by without His unfolding grace." You may have come to Easter service today a little tired, a little worn out. You may be on the edge. You may have felt like giving up. Maybe you're in a relationship and you feel like giving up on it. Maybe, you know, you're in a marriage and you tried hard to make your marriage work, but it's just not getting any better. And so you feel like giving up, or you feel like giving up on a job, or you feel like giving up on your school, or maybe you feel like giving up on your health because you're just not feeling any better. Maybe you feel like giving up on your kid who's headed in the wrong direction, or giving up on your goals or your dreams or your ambitions. Listen, don't do it. Don't give up. It's not over. Instead of giving up, look up. Look up to God. Don't give up. Give in. Give in to Christ and say, "Christ, I'm going to start living for You and not for me." And He'll give you a new power, a new energy to do the things that He put you on this earth to do. And He'll give it to you on a daily basis. Not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. This resurrection power not only brings power, but it also brings purpose. The resurrected life is filled with meaning. I've shared with you before that the greatest tragedy in life is not death. The greatest tragedy is going through your entire life without knowing your purpose, without meaning. Unfortunately, most of us go through life never knowing our purpose, never knowing why God put us here on this earth. Listen, it takes purpose to have your life have significance, to have fullness. And we search for it in all kinds of different ways, right? And we search for it in our achievements, the things that we do, you know, that we achieve. But you can always find somebody who's done more than you. We search for Him in our acquisitions, but you can always find somebody who's done, you know, who has made more money than you. We search for meaning in our appearance. That's not a good source, right? That's not a good source of confidence. You know, I thought about my life, and as a young person, I struggled with acne, and I began to realize, into my early adulthood, I began to realize, you know, just about the time my face cleared up, started looking, you know, pretty good, my hair started falling out. See that? I've had this since I was like 18. I went back and figured it up. I had about 3 months in my life, 3 months that I really looked good, right? So if you put your confidence in the way you look, you're not going to feel very confident very long. We just look at the wrong things, right? To find significance, to find purpose. You know, we try to find it in hobbies or sports or travel or through relationships or through sex or through food. And, you know, all those things are, you know, they're not necessarily bad. There are some good things. There's nothing wrong with those things, except they just don't last. And when the experience is over, where do you get your significance then? In those down times. Listen, you need something that gives you constant significance. You need an eternal purpose. And where do you get that? There's only one place. From the God who created you. Colossians 3:4 says, Christ gives meaning to your life. He made you for a purpose. Until you understand you were made by God and for God, life's not going to make any sense. And until you understand the purpose He put you here on earth for, you can't step up from just the good life to the resurrected life. 1 Peter says, because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And I love this part. And the future starts now. I mean, first notice that this resurrected life, it's somehow connected to what Jesus Christ did at Easter. Somehow, His coming back to life enables me to have a resurrected life, to experience this resurrection power. The second thing to notice is that this resurrected life is not just an addition to your old life, something you just tack on. It's a whole new deal. It's brand new. It says God wants you to have a brand new life. Have you ever noticed how many packages say new and improved? Yeah. You know what that means? Same old junk with a new title. There's very little new in this world. It's all just repackaged, repositioned, relabeled, retitled. There's very little that's actually new in the world. But God says, I want to give you a brand new life. I want to give you a chance to start over. I want to give you a chance to begin again. That's the starting point of a resurrected life. He says, you know all those silly things you've done in the past and you regret and wish you had done differently? Dumb decisions, bad mistakes, sins, faults, failures, whatever you want to call them. He says, let's just erase those and start over. We'll wipe them all out, right? We'll wipe all that other stuff out and you can just begin again. What a deal, right? No more guilt. No more guilty conscience, right? Just wiped out, begin again, start over. And when you start living for God, that's when you begin to discover real happiness, real significance, real purpose, real value, real meaning in your life. Because you begin to not just live for yourself, not living for you, you begin to live for God. The beginning of the resurrected life begins when you stop living for you and you start living for Him. And that's what will bring meaning into your life. That will give you significance. That gives you purpose. The third thing this resurrection power brings, and I wanted to use a P because I'm a preacher, right? So I wanted to go power and purpose. So the third one is this. It's freedom. Oh, man, you don't know how many hours I worked on that. It brings freedom. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by that yoke of slavery. 1 Timothy 2:6 says, He gave His life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. And that freedom, it comes by grace. The resurrected life is a life freed by grace. You say, what is grace, money? Well, grace is when God gives you what you need, not what you deserve. That's grace. Everything you have in your life is because of God's grace. Your whole life you owe to the grace of God. You have nothing if God hadn't decided to make you and to bless you. So grace is God saying, I love you. I forgive you, even though you can't earn it. Grace is God saying, I'm not mad at you. I'm not holding a grudge because my son, Jesus Christ, has taken your sin on the cross. Grace is God saying, I'm going to give you a second chance, and a third, and a fifth, and a 25th, and a 125th. Grace is the road to freedom. Freedom. And what has Jesus Christ set us free from? Oh man, lots of stuff. He set you free from guilt and all the things you feel guilty about. He just wipes them out. He sets you free from the fear of death. You know, I'm not afraid to die. Why? Because I know God personally and I have a relationship with Him and I know where I'm going. He sets you free from the hurts that other people cause you. You know, that bitterness you can't let go of, you keep holding on to, that anger. He says, hey, I'll help you let it go. He sets you free from the expectations of other people. He sets you free to be yourself. He sets you free to grow and develop and become all God meant for you to be. He sets you free from worry, from anxiety. He sets you free from fear, from boredom, from meaninglessness, from no purpose. You see, Jesus Christ came to earth to say, I want you to have a relationship with me. And I've already done it all for you. You don't have to do anything. You just have to accept what I've already done on the cross. That's called grace. Jesus Christ came to redeem you, to set you free from all things that keep you hung up, all the things that entrap you. Your habits, your hurts, you know, those hang-ups, those things that mess up your life. He says, I want to set you free from it. And I want to give you a new life of real freedom. You might say, well, Monty, if I accept this resurrected life, what do I do with the old life? The exhaustion, the emptiness, the enslaved life. Well, look what the Bible says in Romans 8:13. He says, that kind of life, that old life, there's nothing in it for us. Nothing at all. The best thing to do is to give it a decent burial and to get on with your new life, your brand new life. Bury it. Dump it. You don't try to hold on to the old life, you know, all that worry in it, all the bitterness, the guilt, the no purpose. Why would we try to hold on to that stuff? Let me illustrate it this way. This blazer here is the first blazer, I think, the first coat Kim and I bought when we got married, right after we got married. So this thing's over like 30 years old. And, you know, I wanted to wear a blazer this morning, and so I pulled out the old blue blazer. Now, listen, this thing's got stains on it. It's the lining on the inside is ripping. I had several people keep coming up to me, Monty, you got something hanging out. I know, it's my coat. I got a button. I you know, there's supposed to be four buttons. And so, I mean, it's a mess. And so Kim, my beautiful wife, said, hey, I'm going to get you a new coat for Easter. So bring that baby up here. Yeah, hold that up so I can be my tailor, brother. Hold on to that thing right there. I'm going to have to teach you some things, brother. Come on now. She got me a new blazer. Yeah, I got a clap right there. You know what I love? They got flamingos on the inside. And my little Ayla Grace, she loves flamingos. She's going to love this coat. Now, it would be stupid, and I don't use that word but ever so often, but this would really be that way. If I was to try to put this over my old coat, I mean, you wouldn't do that, right? And so why do we hold on to that stuff? No, we take this baby off, right? We take this baby off and we bury it. Never going to have this blazer again, 30-something years old. We're just going to get rid of it, right? Yeah, I don't know why you're clapping, but. And we're going to put on this new, expensive, brand new, right? Listen, Jesus says, that old life, the one that had no meaning or purpose in it, the one that just frustrates you all the time, he says, just bury it. Let it go. Put it at the foot of the cross. I'm going to give you a brand new life. Brand new life. Old things are passed away. Behold, the new. We have a symbol for that called baptism, right? It's a picture. When you follow him in believer's baptism, and hey, we're going to have a baptism celebration next week. And if you've never experienced believer's baptism, maybe you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you've never experienced believer's baptism, where you have an opportunity to be a witness by dying to the old self and being raised up a new creation in Christ. So if you want to be a part of that next week, just see me as you go out and we'll allow you to join Brent McLeod and be a part of that celebration next week. Because here's what I believe. Some of you are one decision away from your life turning around. So how do you get this resurrection-powered life? This resurrected life? This life where you get to experience power and purpose and freedom? There's only one word. There's only one person, right? Drum roll. It's Jesus. Yeah, it's Jesus. That was terrible. Let's try that again. There's only one word. There's only one person that can give you the power to live the resurrected life. And his name is, say it, Jesus. Yes, it's Jesus, the one person that can resurrect dead things in your life. It's Jesus. And he doesn't just offer resurrected life. He says in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he says, do you believe this? Do you believe it? Has God been trying to get your attention this morning? I think so. I think that's why he brought you here, so he could say to you, I want you to step up to the resurrected life. A life of power, full of energy. Not my energy, but his energy. A life full of purpose. To live it for him, to be on mission for him, to share the good news about him to others, to have real purpose and significance in your life, a life of freedom. Again, you can't earn it. You just accept it. It's a gift. You have faith, and you believe, and then you receive that gift. You know, there are two ways to get to be part of the resurrected, powered life. One is, be perfect. You see, God is perfect. And life with God forever will be perfect. No more violence there, no more injustice there, no more unspeakable things happening to people, no more greed, no more deceit, no more arrogance, no more deception. It will be filled with perfect people. One plan to get to spend life eternally with God is be perfect. How you doing with that? Not so well. We need another plan. So God made up another way, and it's the grace plan. I can't live a perfect life. I just can't, right? But Jesus already did. He lived the perfect life. And so he was in a position when he went to the cross to pay the moral debt that I could never pay, to die the spiritual debt that I could never die, so that now, being loved, being forgiven, being renewed is available just as a gift from God because of Jesus. That's part of what the resurrection life means, what resurrection means. I mean, here's the thing. You can know all that and still miss it, because there's just one more step, and that's how you respond to that gift of grace. I'll never forget the day that I responded to that grace and got my new connection with God. And you know, you've heard my story, but I love sharing it. My dad and I were working cattle, and we were riding our horses at the end of the day. And so we rode up to the edge of the Alifi River. It's the pasture we had. It was along the south prong of the Alifi River. And we'd been talking about salvation all day. I was 12 years old, and I wanted to you know, walk the aisle and say, hey, you know, I want to be saved. And so we're just talking about what that meant. And we got off our horses there. We're standing by the river. And he says, Monty, you can do that right now. You don't have to wait till Sunday. He says, right now, just confess that you want him to be your Lord and Savior. You know, just receive that grace gift of forgiveness for you. Just ask him to come in to be your Lord and to be your Savior. And there alongside the river, I pray that little simple prayer. And you know what happened? Nothing really, right? I mean, I didn't feel any emotion. I didn't get a quiver in my liver. I didn't all of a sudden start saying, praise the Lord. I didn't start acting goofy. You know, my horse didn't raise up on his hind legs and go, yeah! I mean, nothing like that happened. I mean, he didn't part the Alifi River. No lightning, no thunder. No angels came down. I didn't hear the voice of God. But let me tell you something. That simple little decision was the turning point in my life. It changed my life forever. Forever. It changed my life forever. Now, don't get me wrong, I was 12 years old, right? But as I got better, you know, as I began to better understand him and know him better, the implications of it became more and more exciting to me. I mean, it was kind of a delayed reaction to my joy as I got to know him more and more. I became more excited about what he'd done in my life. It's kind of like when Kim and I got married. I mean, after the wedding ceremony, I didn't feel like I was married. You know, I do, she do, we do. But after the honeymoon, you know, after waking up, realizing I'm going to wake up to this girl for the rest of my life, here's what I began to learn. The more you realize the benefits of a relationship, the better it gets. The better it gets. And it's the same way in my journey with God. The longer I walk with my God, the more I understand the benefits of my relationship with Him. This is what the resurrected life is all about. A life full of power, a life full of purpose, a life of freedom. And some of you are listening to this and you go, well, Monty, that's great. That's great for people who have flown straight enough and done well enough. But deep down, maybe you're saying, I'm beyond hope. And my words to any of you today who are saying that in your heart, if you think you're beyond hope, you're not. And you can any day, any time, even this day, at this time, do what I did along the Alifi River some 48 years ago with my dad. You can open up your heart to the person and the work of Jesus Christ, and you'll never be the same again. You see, the resurrected life happens through a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I came so that they can have real life, eternal life, a more and better life than they ever dreamed of. That's why He came. And so instead of feeling exhausted and empty and enslaved, He says, hey, I want you to have power. And I want you to have purpose. And I want you to have freedom. And that's what Easter is all about. It's about personally getting to know God. Having a real eternal life. A resurrected, powered life. A better life than you ever dreamed of. It's the resurrected life that comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The same power that raised Him is available to you. And He wants to raise you from the death stuff in your life. Will you step into a resurrected life with Him today? Will you do that? Pray with me, please. Father, there are people here today I know who have never begun a relationship with You. They know about You, God. They may even believe in You, God. They just haven't really known You. And God, I'm just praying that You'll give them the courage right now to open their heart, to open their mind and their life to You right now. If that's you this morning, you've come here on this Easter morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And right now, you're ready to commit your life to Him. You feel His Holy Spirit drawing you into that forever relationship. If that's you, would you just, lift your hand and say, Monty, that's me. I'm ready to say yes to Him and ask Him to come in and be my Lord. Be my Savior. Yeah. Just pray something like this. Dear God, I want to start living the resurrected life. So as much as I know how, I want to start living for You. To start living for You and not just myself. God, thank You for loving me. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. God, I don't understand all that, but so I'm going to need You to help me out with that, Father. But I want to open up my life to You. And as best I know how, I want to get to know You. Just pray right now. I invite You to be the manager of my life. The CEO, the boss, my Lord, my Savior. God, from this day forward, I want You to call the shots in my life. And I want to trust You. And I want to exchange, just say this, I want to exchange my life for the resurrected life. Jesus, come in. I receive Your grace, Your mercy, forgiveness. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And listen, if you prayed that prayer from the depths of your heart right now, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is raising you to the resurrected life. And right now, you are a child of God. So allow Him to begin to help you understand the benefits, the blessings of living in that resurrected life every day from this point forward. As we continue to pray, you know, all of us who know Him in our hearts, all of you that know Him in that very personal way, that came here this Easter morning all excited about dressing up and bringing your family or coming with your family, for all of us, Father, will You help us not to get trapped or to feel exhausted or empty? Father, help us to every day reach out and receive Your unfolding grace. Would You help us to begin to live the resurrected life every day in all of our relationships? Help us, oh God, to have Your power, to live out Your purpose, to experience freedom in every area of our lives. And God, as we trust You, and as we get to know You, and as we spend time in relationship with You, in Your Word, and in prayer with You, would You begin to resurrect the dead things of our life? Even the things that are in the process of dying, would You right now, oh God, breathe new life into them? And God, as we step into the world that You've called us to, that people would see that there's something different about us as we live this brand new life, the better life, the resurrected life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.